Would you turn back to Psalm 40? David said in verse 11, "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." I need to be continually preserved. Four, here's why. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. Now that word "taken hold" is generally translated overtaken. That's what I've entitled this message. Overtaken. Now this, as every psalm is a messianic psalm. And that means that when I read this psalm and every other psalm, I'm first as the words of Christ himself. I remember reading once when there were 22 messianic psalms where it's obviously Christ speaking. No, there's 150 messianic psalms where it is obviously Christ speaking. And you can't argue about this one because this is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10. Look in verse 6. "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." Now turn over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will, O God." Now, when David says, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up," how in the world could those be the words of Christ? He never sinned. He had no iniquity of his own. He didn't have these innumerable evils. How could these be the words of Christ? Well, they are. We already see that from earlier in this chapter where he said, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." These are the direct words of Christ. And you can't say, well, these were the words of Christ, but these weren't. Now, the only way that you and I can understand that, because Christ never sinned, I want to say that as strongly as I can, Christ never sinned. When he was on the cross, he never sinned. When he was in utter darkness, he never sinned. In his person. Christ never sinned in his person at any time. Amen. But when the sins of the elect became his sins, when they were transferred to him, he owned them as his own. After this transfer took place, Christ was not dying for somebody else's sin. It became his. Now that's the only way that this can be understood. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now let's look at this whole psalm as a messianic psalm. Verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever waited patiently for the Lord? Now you've waited for the Lord, but it's been with impatience. Isn't that right? I waited impatiently for the Lord. This can only be said of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when he was in utter darkness on Calvary's tree, with no light at all, forsaken by his Father, he could say, I waited patiently for the Lord. Never did he have unbelief. He believed God perfectly when he had nothing to hold on to, being forsaken by his Father. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Now, I don't have any doubt that's talking about the resurrection. He was in the miry pit of being made sin. He was in the miry pit of the tomb. And the Lord brought him up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Now, why did he bring him up? Because he satisfied God. I love thinking about that. The satisfaction of Jesus Christ. What he did made God satisfied. God said, I can ask for no more. I will not ask for any more. His justice was satisfied. His law was satisfied. Sin was punished. Perfect satisfaction. That's what the resurrection speaks of. That's why we love the resurrection of Christ so much. And he has set my feet upon a rock and has established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Now, I love thinking about this. He said, "I'll in the midst of the church, I'll sing praise to thee." Won't it be something to be able to... We enjoyed hearing you sing, Drew, very much. You know somebody who I'm going to hear enjoy singing much more? Hearing the Lord sing praise to his Father. Us being allowed to listen in as the Lord Jesus Christ does that in the midst of his church. Many, all of the elect, all who believe, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now here are three things that go together always. First, you see. You see who he is and what comes as a result of seeing who he is? Fear. Fear. I'm not talking about the fear of mistrust. I'm talking about the fear of reverence. That fear that makes you afraid to look anywhere but Christ. If you ever see who he is, you'll be afraid to look anywhere but Christ only is everything in your salvation. Many shall see and fear and trust. These things always go together. You see him, you'll fear him. You fear him, you'll trust him as everything in your salvation. Verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now here is the blessed man. The man who makes the Lord his trust. Not his experience, not his works. All my salvation is in him. And that person who looks only to Christ, he doesn't respect the proud. He sees it as offensive, insolent, arrogant, this thing of pride, it's so groundless. How can you be proud? If you know how the Lord has saved you, you'll glory in him, you'll be proud of him, but you won't be proud of yourself. You'll be ashamed of yourself. Nor of... Such as turn aside the lies of salvation by works. Now many, verse 5, this is still Christ speaking, and he says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare unto thee, if I declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. Now, the first thing I'd like to point out about this verse is the little word us. Do you know, if you're a believer, you've never been separated from Jesus Christ? You're a part of that us. The same us that when the Lord was speaking to John the Baptist, he said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He wasn't only talking about John the Baptist, he's talking about Todd Nybert. He was talking about every single one of his elect. Everything he did as an us. And God's people have never been separated from him. Would you ever want to be? Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Everything he did as an us. And he says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. And I think of his wonderful works of salvation. What a wonderful work it is for him to choose me. What do you think of election? Do you get tired of it? Well, there he is beating that drum again, election. You got a problem. If that's your attitude. I know that's people's attitude from time to time. Election. What an amazing thing that he would choose me. What a wonderful work that he'd redeem me from all my sins and put them away. What a wonderful work that he would make me to stand before him as righteous and justified. What a wonderful work that he'd give me life. That his grace would be invincible and give me life. And what a wonderful work that he preserves me. Many, O Lord God, are thy wonderful works, which are to usward. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. And then this is what we read from Hebrews chapter 10. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Now that's as the Hebrew bond slave. You remember when the Hebrew bond slave was allowed to go out, but he couldn't bring his wife and kids with him. He said, I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my master. I don't want to leave. And they would take him and bore his ear. That's what the Lord is saying he is. I'm not going to be separated from my people. Mine ear hast thou digged, mine ear hast thou opened. I'm not going to be separated from my people. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, animal sacrifice. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Now this is not this book. This book is in that book. But this is that book that we read of in Revelation chapter 5. The book of God's decrees. The book of God's purposes. That's backside, front side. You can't add anything to it. Sealed with seven seals that only the Lamb could open up. That's the book he's talking about. The book of God's eternal purposes and decrees. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, turn back to Hebrews 10 for just a moment. Let me read the rest of that passage. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first covenant, that he may establish the second, by the which will, by God's will. Remember he said, I come to do thy will? Well, here's what he did. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. A completed action that never needs to be repeated again. Once for all. Now, verse 9. The Lord describes his preaching. And if you want to know the content of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have it here in these two verses. And this summarizes everything. He says, I've preached righteousness in a great congregation Lo, I've not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Now, he describes his preaching. I've preached and I've declared. And he says, I've not refrained. I've not hid. I've not concealed. What's the kind of preaching I want to hear? I want to hear the declaration of the truth. I don't want to see any refraining. I don't want to see any hiding. I don't want to see any concealing. That, I'm afraid, would summarize most of the stuff that goes on under the name of preaching. Not, it's not true preaching, but I don't want to hear anything like that. I want to hear the way the Lord preached. And what is it he preached? He said, I preach righteousness. And we know what he's talking about when he says, I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. He's talking about his own righteousness, the righteousness and merits of Jesus Christ. He said, I've declared thy faithfulness. Every aspect of salvation is God being faithful to do what he determined before to be done. That's what this faithfulness is about. Everything he does, he already determined to do, and lo, he does it. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. The salvation that's all of grace, that's all in Christ. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Now, this is still the Lord speaking. Verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Here's the verse I thought of when I read this and thought of the Lord saying this. I thirst. Oh, how he thirsted for the tender mercies and the loving kindness of the Lord. And he didn't have any of that on Calvary's tree. But oh, how he thirsted for it. Now he says in verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities. Now, understand this. You can't understand it. I can't understand it. Nobody can understand it, but God can do this. Christ said, my iniquities. He didn't say the iniquities of Todd that were imputed to me. Now, they were my iniquities. But when the Lord took them upon himself, they became his. And he became guilty of those iniquities. And he owns them before his Father. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. And he's the only one who ever really felt anything like this. Me and you, we don't understand the evil of sin and how it must have felt to the Holy Son of God as he was made sin. But listen to what he says from Calvary's tree. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Now, this is the offense. This is the scandal of the cross. Somebody was in my study talking to me about this issue. And they said, that's scandalous. And I said, yes, it is. It's called the offense and the scandal of the cross. And then the Lord says in verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And I couldn't help but think about how the Father, while Christ was made sin, the Father never ceased to love him. The Father never ceased to see his beauty and glory. And I don't know how to explain this. I know it pleased the Lord to bruise him, but how it must have broken his heart to bruise him. This is his Son. Then the Lord says in verse 14, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a ward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha, so would we have it. This is what we thought. You're getting exactly what you deserve. Now this is the Lord's prayer against his enemies. Now, don't forget, the Lord said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. Those people that he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, they were forgiven. But he prayed against some people. Turn to Psalm 69 for just a moment. Verse 21, they gave me also gall from my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Now, is there any question about who's speaking? This is the Lord Jesus from the cross, as they gave him gall and vinegar to drink. Now, look what he says. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold upon them. Let their habitation be desolate. Let no one dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. And they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. Now this is the Lord's prayer against his enemies. The Lord has enemies, and he prays against them. Don't forget this. This is who he is, and God has revealed this to us for a specific purpose. He's praying against those who do not believe. Now back to Psalm 40. Verse 16, this is his prayer for his people. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But, and he's still speaking from the cross, I am poor and needy. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Whenever you read a psalm, read it first as the words of Christ. And we see that so clearly here. But this was also David speaking. Now, I have no doubt that David understood when he was speaking that these are primarily the words of Christ. Let me show you this. We're going to turn to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. This is Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost. And he says in verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. This is the 16th Psalm. For he's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. He knew he would never go through the process of decay. Thou hast made me to know the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, the one who wrote this, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. David knew exactly what he was saying. And I have no doubt that David knew exactly what he was saying in this 40th psalm. But this is also David's experience. Verse 11. Now, these are the only words I can really see as David's words. I can't see David speaking in these first verses. This seems to be just speaking of Christ. But I can see David speaking here. Verse 11, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Now, he's asking the Lord to not withhold his mercies. You know why he asked that? Because he felt the Lord justly could withhold his mercies. He felt like that's what he deserved. He's talking about how he felt. In another place, in Psalm 51, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. David, don't you believe in the eternal security of God's people? Of course he did. But he's talking about how he felt. And he felt like the Lord could justly withhold his mercies. And he's saying, Lord, please don't do it for Christ's sake. I need your truth and your loving kindness to continually preserve me. If you do not preserve me, I will most assuredly fall away. He says in verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. And he's talking about his own evils. He's not just talking about bad people. He's talking about his own evils. They're innumerable, and I'm completely surrounded by them, drowning in them. And this word taken hold, like I said, is the word generally translated overtaken. I have been overtaken by my iniquities. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. They've overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Now, I could show you so many words just like this throughout the Psalms. But read Psalm 38. Read Psalm 39 as you get opportunity. But David felt as though he had been overtaken, defeated. He couldn't even look up. He couldn't see past this. Now, when he's saying this, he's talking about his feelings. And he says, I feel like I have been cut off. I feel like I couldn't be saved. I can't even look up. And when you look to yourself, that's the way you will feel. I'll assure you of that. That's the way David felt. He said, I can't even look up. Now, remember when Paul said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and that word fault is generally translated trespass. If a man be overtaken in a trespass. Do you know anything about that? Being overtaken. Defeated. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. That's his confession about himself. I am carnal. Sold under sin. And that means literally sold as a slave to sin. Now, before Paul was saved, he said, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. But when God saved him, he had a completely different view of his connection with sin. Mine iniquities, David said, have overtaken me so that I can't look up, I can't see, I can't even see how I could possibly be saved. That's what he's saying. And when you're looking to yourself, you're going to be saying the same thing. How many times? There's not a day that goes by when at some point, I mean this, there's not a day that goes by when at some point I don't think, how could I be saved? How could I be saved? Now that's where David's at this time. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. One translation says, my sins have piled up so high I can't see my way out. Therefore, my heart fails me. It's no good. That's my big problem, my heart. Now, whenever a man is brought to that place, he doesn't have anywhere to go but here. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. I don't have anywhere else to go. I can't make any promises. I can't do anything. Be pleased, as an act of your sovereign will, be pleased to deliver me. That's the same thing the leper said. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. I think of what David said in that last verse of Psalm 119. He said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. I can't get back. I can't find my way back. Seek thy servant. Deliver me. You know, I think of this prayer, save me. Same thing. Deliver me. I need to be delivered from God himself because he's the one I sinned against. I need to be delivered from myself. I am the problem. I need to be delivered from my sin and my sins. I need to be delivered from the mess my sins have made. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. If you want deliverance, you're in a hurry. It'd be okay a few days from now. Make haste to help me. Look in verse 14. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a ward of their shame that say unto me, aha! Aha! You know, we're always going to have folks like that. You're guilty of grievous sin. Job's comforters, buddy, they had him exposed. Aha! This is your fault. You've brought this on yourself. You've been caught. You've been found out. So would we have it. Aha! Aha! Lord's going to deal with these people. And it ain't going to be good. And I don't want to be one of those people. Let me quote this to you from Matthew chapter 7. I hope the Lord brings this to the heart of every one of us. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be meted to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? It's a good question, isn't it? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, a log. Thou hypocrite. That's the Lord's words. Thou hypocrite. First cast the beam out of thine own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. You know what I get out of that? Somebody says, I've got all the beams out of my eye, have you? Your eye, you've got such a big beam in your eye that you can't even see it. Verse 16. Let all those that seek thee, let all those that seek thee. You know, that's what a believer is. He's somebody who seeks the Lord. He seeks the Lord. And I know why he seeks the Lord. David said, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. And that would describe a believer who seeks the Lord. He seeks the Lord. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. That's where his salvation is. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in you. It's in him. I love it when the disciples said, now we hear you speaking plainly. Now we know. He said, do you now know? Do you? The hour is coming when every one of you are going to deny you know me. You're going to leave me. But these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Now, his salvation is in Christ. It's all of grace and it's not of works. Do you love his salvation? Well, if you do, you know what you're going to say? Let the Lord be magnified. Now, what that means is you ascribe all the glory of salvation to him. Now, there's two reasons to do that. Number one, because all glory goes to him. Don't you know that with regard to you more than anybody else? Don't you know that with regard to you? He did it all. But here's another reason. If all the glory doesn't go to him, that means something's expected out of me. And that's why I wish I had a pure motive in wanting him to get all the glory, just because I love him so much that I want him to be honored. But here's what I find with myself. I'm scared of him not getting all the glory, because if he doesn't get all the glory, that means something's expected out of me. And that's something that I can't handle. He's got to do it all, or there's no hope for me. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I, this is David speaking. Yes, it was the Lord speaking first, but this is David speaking too. I'm poor and I'm needy. He said that 10 times with regard to himself. This man who is the man after God's own heart. This is how he describes himself. I'm poor. Now, he was a wealthy man as far as material things go. But he said, I'm poor. I don't have anything. I don't have anything to bring to the table. And I have great needs. I'm poor and I am needy. I need the Lord to choose me. I need Christ to die for me and pay for my sins. I need God's grace to be invincible and irresistible toward me and overcome me. I need to be preserved by His Spirit. I'm poor and I'm needy. Yet, the Lord thinketh upon me. You know, the great high priest had the names of the children of Israel on his shoulders, bearing them up by his strength, and on his breast in his heart. And there has never been a time, child of God, when the Lord was not thinking of you. There have been plenty of times you weren't thinking of him. But there's never been a time when he was not thinking of you. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. The words of Christ, yes. The words of David, yes. And the words of every believer. Yes, every believer can identify with what David is saying. Now we're going to take the Lord's table now, and we're going to find out, in considering this, why somebody like David or me or you are saved. It's because of the perfect righteousness, the broken body, the shed blood, and the resurrection of Christ. We're truly doing this in remembrance of Him as our salvation. Now, I've said before, I remember as a young believer, I would want to skip services whenever they had Lord's Day, because I thought about that scripture where it says, if anybody eats or drinks unworthily, he eats or drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And I'm scared to death about eating the table unworthily. Well, those thoughts were so stupid. My worthiness is in the broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come pass out the elements.